Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked On Wolves. Today on the show, the first kind of sort of post-game podcast of the season, the Wolves beat the Miami Heat by 10 in the preseason opener, plus a couple of notes from some NBA.com season previews and Bleacher Report, their thoughts on the Timberwolves season, what to look out for, my reaction to their thoughts, where they're right and where they're wrong. We'll talk all about it on the show here today. Welcome in. You are Locked On Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves. Your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Happy hump day. Hopefully you're having a fantastic week so far. And welcome to the first kind of sort of semi post game podcast. We'll talk all about the preseason game as much as we can glean from a preseason game on Tuesday night here on the show, and a lot more. A big thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Of course, Locked On Wolves is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms from Apple to Google, Spotify to Odyssey, and more. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at B Beacon with two B's, two E's, CK. Ian, also a reminder, you can find Locked On Wolves as well as all the other Locked On Minnesota podcasts. So all your favorite Minnesota sports has a Locked On podcast. They're all available now on the brand new Locked On Sports Minnesota app on Roku and Amazon Fire TV. More great local sports coverage 24/7. And it's absolutely free. Download the free Locked On Sports Minnesota app on either Roku or Amazon Fire TV. We definitely appreciate the support. And it's a really great way to watch the show every day. All right, so Tuesday night, the Wolves were in Miami. They beat the Miami Heat by 10. Of course, a lot of guys not playing for both teams. We knew that Karl-Anthony Towns wasn't going to play. Of course, he was ill, has barely returned to practice. Rudy Gobert did not play. We knew that ahead of time. We talked about that on Tuesday's show, just additional rest following his overseas play throughout the summer. And then D'Angelo Russell, it was announced later in the day he wouldn't dress. Doesn't seem like there's an injury there at all. There's been no report of that. So it probably more is just a, hey, he's going to play a lot this year. D'Lo is also a guy we know he's got a lot of miles. He gets banged up, especially for a guy who plays very much below the rim. He's had some knee issues and stuff. And so, you know, why bother if Rudy and Kat aren't going to play? It's a little bit different when it comes to Ant, to Jaden McDaniels. Those guys still could use reps. Now, I wouldn't be surprised at all. This is just speculation. If Ant sits on Thursday in the preseason game, I mean, why run him out there twice in 3 days? When he's going to play hopefully 70, 75 plus games this season. On Miami's side, Jimmy Butler didn't play. Victor Oladipo didn't play. Gabe Vincent, those would be the biggest names of players who just kind of sat out. So it was a relatively, I mean, you still had Kyle Lowry out there. Tyler Herro played quite a bit. He actually was second on the Heat in minutes in this game. So you had, outside of maybe the biggest stars, certainly the biggest star on both teams, in the Wolves' case, three of their best four players not playing, you know, there was still some competitive basketball for chunks of this game. It was actually a pretty fun game. The Wolves pulled away kind of in the second quarter and really, really had control for the entire game. But it was the second quarter and kind of that transition to the bench. Torian Prince came off the bench for the Wolves and played really well. I should mention the starting lineup with no Kat, no Rudy, no D'Lo. Nas started at center. You had Jaden McDaniels, well, I guess Kyle Anderson at the four. McDaniels at the three, Edwards at the two, and Jalen Noel also started as well. So Ant and Jalen and Kyle Anderson, really. Kyle Anderson actually initiated a lot of the offense to start the game. And Anderson was fantastic. He was tied for the team lead in plus minus with a plus 14, four assists, five rebounds, two steals, 0 points. He actually only had two shot attempts in 24 minutes, which is a team high in minutes for Kyle Anderson, somewhat surprisingly, but only squeezed the trigger twice, didn't make a shot. So that was your starting lineup. Torian Prince came off the bench, played really well, 19 points on 12 shots in 20 minutes. And Nate Knight played heavily off the bench as well, had 14 and 7 in 16 minutes, 4 of 7 shooting, got to the line 9 times. So those were kind of your, you know, the primary rotation guys. Normally, if you're new to Locked On Wolves, what we'll do for a post-game pod, first of all, we do a 10-minute live postcast following the game, and then we'll do kind of a full, like a 25, 30-minute podcast. I'll do key takeaways, game flow, you know, what the number one most important thing is, and then we'll do studs and duds from the game. Not going to do that for the preseason because, I mean, hey, nobody deserves to be a dud after one preseason game, knocking the rust off. And also, it's preseason basketball. So I'll just give you my biggest takeaways from the game. My biggest takeaways were the aggressive defense the Wolves were playing. I thought that they were really good with getting up, you know, under the guys with the ball, getting out, you know, in one-on-one situations, isolation situations, just to catch on the perimeter. The Wolves were really getting into the heat, which I, you know, expect. The Wolves were good. They were a really aggressive defensive team last year, but it was good to see that energy in the first preseason game. Similarly, going back the other way from a fast break perspective, the Timberwolves were really aggressive in the open floor in fast breaks and trying to get the ball down the court. We knew that that's something Chris Finch wanted to do. And, you know, they did it last year as well, again, but really evident in this game that it was pushing the pace, pushing the pace, pushing the pace. The Wolves were fantastic at that. And lots of guys had nice open floor plays. Jalen Noel, Anthony Edwards, Nate Knight, even in the open floor, looked comfortable. So that's another key takeaway for me. I think the way that, you know, Kyle Anderson was the one, I mentioned this already, but he was the primary initiator of the offense, which maybe shouldn't be a surprise. We talked about how he did that at times in Memphis, and he would do that at times in Minnesota, but he essentially, even though he started at power forward, he was initiating offense for this team for basically the whole time he was on the floor. Jordan McLaughlin is really good off the bench. That's another takeaway for me. He had four steals in like his first 7 minutes, I think, on the floor. Finished with 4 points, five assists, four steals in the game, two or three shooting, and was just really good. And that'll be a thing to look for, you know, obviously not preseason. When you get into the regular season, what does that backup point guard rotation look like? If Jalen Noel is playing really well, is it him? Is it simply, you know, staggering the rotation so Kyle Anderson initiates a lot of offense based on matchups? Is it Jordan McLaughlin? Is there a chance you have Austin Rivers run offense? Austin Rivers, if I was going to give out a dud, I mean, he was 0 of 6 shooting in this game. Didn't play bad. He was good defensively, had 3 rebounds, 2 assists, but 21 minutes, which was third on the team in minutes, and it was 0 of 6 shooting. So, you know, I think that would be another thing to keep an eye on moving forward, is that point guard rotation. Nothing the Wolves did offensively was groundbreaking, other than, again, being aggressive in the open floor, which is to be expected from a Chris Finch team and from this Timberwolves team based on what we saw last season. Those are probably the biggest things. I should say defensively on Tyler Hero, I thought that Jade McDaniels did an extremely good job. It's, you know, early in the game. And then also later in the game, Hero and Jade McDaniels knocked, you know, bumped knees, and J-Mac had to come out of the game. But I believe the Wolves said after the game, it wasn't a big deal. He seemed to be fine. Not what you want in a preseason game, but the aggressiveness was good. I mean, Hero was actually looked pretty good for the Heat as well, which shouldn't be a surprise. But 22 points in 26 minutes on 14 shots. He was the best player on the floor for them. Bam Adebayo, I should say, played as well and played extremely well when he was on the floor. There really aren't any other key takeaways. I should also say Anthony Edwards played extremely well, which, again, another thing that's not to be a surprise. Looked really comfortable. Jumper looked good. Shot 9 of 15, 24 points for him in just 23 minutes. 3 assists, 3 rebounds, only 1 turnover. Again, had a nice dunk in the open floor. Looked comfortable in the half court. Really solid all-around game. If I had to pick 3 studs in this game for the Wolves, it would be Ant. It would be Jade McDaniels because of the defensive effort on Hero. And then I'd probably go Nate Knight. I mean, obviously Torian Prince had a really good game, but I think it was really good to see Nate Knight do some stuff off the dribble, have a nice dunk, get the 9 free throws in 16 minutes, 7 rebounds, but looked really good. I truly think he's going to give Nas a run for his money in terms of backup big minutes behind Rudy and Kat. I think there's a lot of things Nate Knight does as a 4 that maybe Nas isn't as comfortable doing. So depending on the matchups, Knight's a bit more physical. He's a bit more just solid all the way around, I think, even if Nas kind of has more of those wow moments, right? Knight is more of a solid, you know, one of those blue collar type guys who can do a little bit of everything, whereas Nas flashes and he has these moments where he looks fantastic. But sometimes there's just too many holes defensively, some sloppiness on offense. So it wouldn't shock me if as the season wears on. I'm not saying opening night, but depending on matchups and as we get into January, February, March, perhaps Nate Knight gets some of those backup minutes in the front court and we see a little bit less of Naz Reid. But again, we're a ways out from that. It was good to see him play really well in the first preseason game, however. Okay, Rest of the show, there were a couple of preview pieces on NBA.com and on Bleacher Report that I want to get to here today. So we're going to do that here next. First, so let's talk about our title sponsors of today's show, or our really good friends, I guess I should say, over at Prize Picks. On the Timberwolves' next preseason game on Thursday, I might head over to Prize Picks and take the over on Anthony Edwards' points. It's probably, for a preseason game, it's probably, 19 and a half, 20 points, something like that. Who knows how many minutes he's going to play, but, I mean, he looks great. I would definitely take the over on points at Prize Picks. If you don't know, if you're not familiar with Prize Picks, it's super, super easy. All you do is pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection. And again, it's not just points. I mean, you could take D'Angelo Russell over in assists, Rudy Gobert over in blocks, whoever they're playing under in whatever category you want, or whichever direction you want to go on any of those lines or any of those numbers. Really easy. You can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. It's not competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections available. Prize Picks offers projections on any sport that you watch. This includes the NBA, the NFL, the MLB, NHL, PGA, college football, college basketball, men's and women's, soccer, WNBA, esports, NASCAR, tennis, et cetera, et cetera, on and on and on. Basically every single sport. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's super easy, safe, and fast withdrawals. And currently, it's operational in over 30 states and Canada. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code LOCKEDON. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, they'll give you $50. Don't forget to enter the promo code LOCKEDON at signup at prizepicks.com for an instant deposit match up to $100. Again, prizepicks.com, promo code LOCKEDON for an instant deposit match up to $100. Thanks again for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. A reminder that you can check out the Ultimate Pro Basketball Preview starting Monday, October 10th, this coming Monday, a 6-episode extravaganza to get you ready for the NBA season. The local team experts and the NBA insiders of the Locked On Podcast Network and Odyssey all combined into one Ultimate NBA Preview starting October 10th. That's this Monday. Search for Ultimate Pro Basketball Preview 2022 on your Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Yours truly was part of a roundtable with some On the Rise team hosts, Locked On Grizzlies, Locked On Raptors, Locked On Pelicans, Locked On Cavaliers. I think that was it. Moderated by or led by Nick Engstad, the host of Locked On Mavs. We had a great discussion. Lots of teams kind of in the same realm as the Wolves. So be sure to check that out next week, starting October 10th on the Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Okay. So we're kind of in this preview mode now. Preseason started. Everybody's getting their thoughts out on paper over the airwaves, the podcast, the pod waves, if you will. So a couple of quick notes. The NBA.com GM survey came out, but that's a ton of fun. I'm going to do a whole episode on that Thursday. That'll be tomorrow's episode. So you can go check it out, prep for that if you want, but I'm going to talk through my thoughts. I think there's some really intriguing things there, but I want to dedicate some more time to it. So a couple of other preview things came out that I want to focus on today. One is at NBA.com. At NBA.com, it was Sean Powell, the writer, came up with what to expect from all 15 teams in the West. I'll be honest with you. When I saw the headline, I expected a bit more out of this article. It's like 5 sentences on each team. I'll read what he says about the Wolves, and then I'll tell you why I think it's kind of like, I don't know why. He says, this will be year one of the Rudy Gobert experiment, and there's plenty on the line for the Wolves to make all of that draft capital they surrendered to get Gobert from Utah worthwhile. How he and Karl Anthony Towns mesh will dictate how effective the Wolves will be in their quest to overwhelm opponents with size and mismatches. That said, their best player is Anthony Edwards. He demonstrated as much in the 2022 playoffs, and the youngster is thirsty for respect and a spot on the All-NBA team. This isn't framed as a projection piece. It's just a, what to expect. So I guess maybe he's projecting that Ant is, at the end of this year, the best player on the team. I don't think there's any question that Karl-Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert are the two best players sitting here right now in a vacuum on October 5th, 2022. In 6 months, we may feel differently. That would be a pretty massive leap from Ant. It would be, as we've talked about in the show before, and I also talked about, by the way, on the roundtable for the Odyssey show that'll air next week, that if Ant takes a Ja Morant-like jump in year three, then sure, that's a reasonable conversation to have. Ja, everybody feels like Ja is a top 15. Some people even think he's a top 10, 12 player. Now, I wouldn't go that far because he's got to improve defensively. But if on the offensive end of the floor, Ant takes a jaw-like leap, he could actually be better than Rudy or better than Kat by the end of this season. But right now, because of what Rudy's done defensively throughout his career, including last season, and done on the glass, and he still can be a functional offensive player, Karl-Anthony Towns is one of the best, probably five offensive players in the entire league. So, I mean, saying that Ant is better than both of them now is kind of crazy. But of course, the ceiling is there, right? The ceiling for Ant, there really isn't one. And I don't need to say much more about that, but Ja in his first and second year, it was really similar to Ant. Year three, Ja became so much more efficient. His jumper improved a little bit. He became better at picking his spots. There were so many things he just improved at in year three as the game continued to slow down, which I know is a cliche, but it's a real thing. And we're there. I mean, we're now in year three for Ant. And Ant is already so much better than Ja Morant defensively, and it's really not even all that close. Just a better defensive player all the way around. He's bigger. Knock on wood, should be, you know, I obviously hope Ja's durable too, but the way that Ja plays and combined with his frame, you know, Ant should be more durable, you know, longer term than Ja. Hopefully they both are. But there's things about Ant that just clearly are more attractive in terms of a profile of a superstar player. And we'll talk, I want to talk more about the Ja-Ant thing when it comes to the NBA GM survey, by the way, as a little bit of a teaser for Thursday, because there's some Ja stuff in there that I think we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves collectively when it comes to Ja Morant. I don't want to turn this into a Ja Morant, you know, diss podcast or anything, but, you know, Anthony Edwards, there's a real shot that at the end of this season, he's a better player than Ja Morant. So I guess you could put me down for voting Anthony Edwards for player most likely to make a leap this season on that survey, were I to be a GM. I would definitely co-sign that, which, by the way, he's on that list too. We'll talk about that tomorrow. So I thought that this little blurb at NBA.com by Sean Powell was kind of, it didn't really say much. Obviously, Rudy and Kat, everyone's watching that. But the Edwards leap, it hasn't happened yet. The incremental improvement happened last year. Absolutely improved. But just wait till after this season. This is the year when that leap very well could happen. And you're talking about, you know, already according to the ESPN top 100, they're the only team with three players in the top 25. And say what you will about that list. But even if it's not entirely accurate, they're probably the only team, you know, with three players in the top 30 or 35 or whatever you want to call it. This is a real big three that this team has now. And that doesn't even mention D'Angelo Russell, a former All-Star, contract year, entering the prime of his career. Best season last year all the way around since his All-Star season several years ago in Brooklyn. So this is a really, really good roster. And Anthony Edwards could still very well end up being the best player on the roster by the end of the season. Okay, let's close by this Bleacher Report article talking about Karl-Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert coexisting. It's an idea that I've talked about a lot on the show. But I think it's interesting to see what the national folks, the people that don't cover the team specifically, what they're saying about it, right? What they're saying about the Towns-Rudy pairing, and then giving my thoughts on their thoughts to kind of give more of a local perspective, somebody who does cover the team on a daily basis, what my take on their take is. So we'll do that here next to close the show. All right, closing the show today with a bit more Rudy Kat talk. This article is at Bleacher Report. It's Andy Bailey, who does a fantastic job over there. He wrote up an article that's every NBA team's biggest question for the season. And perhaps not surprisingly, the national question is, how do Karl-Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert coexist? Before I even read what he said, let me point out, this is another thing that I said on the roundtable that airs next week on the Odyssey season preview, is that this narrative, this question nationally of like, how do Towns and Rudy coexist? I don't know that that's really the question, right? It's obviously people are going to be paying attention to it because they're both centers and I get it. But as I've said at length, Cat's played with bigs that function like Rudy, just not as good on offense. The question is more on defense, and Andy mentions that to his credit in this article. But I don't know if that's the biggest question for the Wolves. Like, good players could figure out how to play with good players. Remember, there was all this hand-wringing about this is different, but like Kevin Durant joining the Warriors, like, how's that going to work? How are LeBron and Dwayne Wade going to work? There was a moment where everybody was worried about that. If you go back even further, there's obviously been some, you know, things that haven't worked out, but for different reasons than the actual on-court meshing, because good players that want to be, or great players that want to win, they'll figure it out. They're great players, right? Like, more is more, I guess, to put it like ultra crudely simply. And so adding talent to talent is almost always going to be successful. So I think a bit of this hand-wringing nationally is, you know, if we want to complain about what they gave up for Rudy Gobert, fine. They gave up a lot of picks. But to worry a ton about the fit seems to be a bit of a waste of time. But I'll read what he says. He says, offensively, it's actually pretty easy to see how Rudy and Kat will coexist. The former is one of the best rim runners in the league. That's Rudy. His screening and dives to the rim consistently pull defenders to the paint, as I've talked about on the show. His roll gravity, right? So when Rudy rolls or dives to the paint, people have to follow him. He's gigantic. He's got a huge wingspan. He shoots 70%+ from around the rim. He pulls defenses in. And then Bailey says that should give Kat one of the best shooting bigs of all time. Correction, the best shooting big of all time is what he should have said. Precious extra time on catch and shoot opportunities. The most intriguing potentiality might be 4 or 5 pick and rolls with the two all-stars. Minnesota Timberwolves coach Chris Finch was an offensive assistant who had a lot to do with Nikola Jokic's breakout in 16-17. And I'll add as an aside, he was in New Orleans prior to that when both Boogie Cousins and Anthony Davis were there. Back to the article, Bailey says perhaps he'll entrust Towns with a little playmaking responsibility too. The bigger question is how this works on defense. Gobert will fill his role just fine, but the idea of Kat chasing some stretch and playmaking fours around is daunting. With Gobert, Anthony Edwards, and Jaden McDaniels, Minnesota may have enough plus defenders in the lineup to cover for Towns, but it's far from a given. So I don't really disagree with most of this, right? I think the offense, he spends a lot of time talking about different things they could do on offense, which is 100% true. I've talked about this at length. Just run more pick and rolls. Get Kat more catch and shoot opportunities where he shoots 41% from three. Have Kat do a big pick and roll, initiate. Play horn sets where you have Gobert diving and Towns popping. You know, you can do all kinds of things. Defensively, this is really the only concern, but I also don't worry all that much about it, right? If the Wolves want to play a high wall blitzing pick and roll scheme like they've done in past years, or I should say last year specifically, do that. Kat's good at that, and Rudy's your low man instead of Jared Vanderbilt, right? Vando's great, but he's undersized, wasn't a rim protector at all. Rudy's a lot bigger and is the best rim protector of this generation. So, like, you could be aggressive on the perimeter. Rudy's got your back in the paint. Or if you want to play drop with Rudy involved in the action, and then Towns is your low man, which isn't his best role, but Towns isn't horrible in the paint. The problem is when he's backpedaling and drop coverage is when he's really exposed. Or if he gets put in a bad way on the perimeter, which could happen at times if teams choose to go five out and try and challenge the Wolves that way, which is what we saw teams do to Utah in the playoffs last year. But the Wolves have a ton of flexible and versatile defenders. Jaden McDaniels can guard fours on the perimeter, and teams will likely, almost surely, try and hunt Karl-Anthony Towns to try and go at that matchup. But then you still have Rudy behind him. So as long as Kat can avoid foul trouble, Rudy's still guarding the paint. Jaden McDaniels could still switch on to guys. Like, there's ways around this. The biggest thing is foul trouble. Towns is not a bad defender. He was put in the wrong position too many times and too often paired with bad perimeter defenders. And he had to make choices. And sometimes it was, hey, I'm going to be in foul trouble. And other times it was like, hey, I'll back off. And people will tell me I'm not trying or I'm not a rim protector. And he's not a rim protector, but he's better in the paint than, say, Jared Vanderbilt was defensively. So if you have Rudy involved in drop pick and roll coverage and you can have Towns on the back line, that's not a bad spot to be in. So you can mix up your pick and roll coverages. You can mix up your defenses if you're Chris Finch. And I mean, like, there's a lot to like there. So yes, the biggest question is going to be the defensive fit. We've known that for a while. But I just don't think it's quite as dire of a situation as some may have you think that it is. All right, Thursday show, I want to spend that whole show talking about the NBA.com GM survey. It's one of my favorite shows of the year because it's just so fascinating. We'll talk about stuff beyond the Wolves as well, but a lot of Timberwolves mentions, as you might expect, in this survey. Also, one player that never comes up in the survey, unless I missed it, I'll reread it. There's a player that I was shocked on the Timberwolves, never was mentioned in the survey. Probably the first time that that's been the case since he came to the league. So we'll talk about that on Tuesday's show. We'll also do a quick preview of the preseason game Tuesday evening on, I believe it's Lakers on ESPN, if I'm not mistaken. Actually, let me just make sure that that's true. But I believe Thursday is Lakers on ESPN. Yeah, Lakers, 9 p.m. Central, ESPN. That's the neutral site game in Vegas. So that's Friday's show then will be the postgame pod. We'll dig into that a bit more on Friday. So a big week coming up. A big thank you once again to those of you that do make Lockdown Wolves your first listen every day. Of course, you can find this show anywhere you listen to podcasts. Free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms from Apple to Google, Spotify to Odyssey. You can also follow on Twitter at Lockdown T-Wolves and at B Beacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. Of course, the Lockdown Wolves podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Right now, you can make your second listen, the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Show with the fantastic Josh Lloyd. He hosts the number one daily fantasy basketball show on the planet. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.